سبحانه وتعالى في موضع آخر: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بالحرام، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأبلغ الوسيلة والدرجة الرفيعة من الجنة. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing what is beneficial for us and knowing what is non-beneficial, through the Quran and through the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala has given us a conduct, a way of life, which is beneficial for us and which will also be beneficial for our families. When we see the injunctions and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many unfortunately give a slogan that, especially those who are not connected to the religion, they say that Islam is strict on many, many things. Whereas when we look at the things that are haram, and when we weigh out what is halal, we'll come to know and come to a conclusion that there are many, many things out there which Allah Ta'ala has made totally halal for us. A great vast spectrum of things which are halal, things which are permissible. And those things which Allah Ta'ala has made impermissible, we look and we find, and when we get to the deeper conclusion of it, we come to a conclusion that these things are impermissible because it is only for the greater good, and that a person be safeguarded, his health be safeguarded, his wealth be safeguarded, his own family, those around him, community at large, they will all be protected from things which could lead to worse, or things becoming not ideal for that individual or that for that community. Allah Ta'ala has made the consumption of alcohol haram. This is the benefit of mankind. Allah Ta'ala has made further intoxicants. Allah Ta'ala has made this haram. Allah Ta'ala has made many, many things which are classified as haram and not allowed, not permissible. But when we look on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala has left a great vast spectrum for us where we can pick what is halal for us. For instance, Allah Ta'ala gives the permission for a person that he is allowed to practice, or he is allowed to be, or he is allowed to enter a polygamous marriage. This is just an example. Allah, because knowing the needs, Allah Ta'ala, looking at the needs of mankind, Allah Ta'ala understands that there is one track of zina, adultery, fornication. And on the other hand, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given this permission to be fulfilled in a halal and permissible way, where a person is responsible. Allah Ta'ala has given us the choice of foods. We are not just strict on one particular diet where we are having vegetables the whole day, or we are on a vegan diet. Allah Ta'ala has given us a choice of what to consume. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in a great hadith And he says that in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. And if Allah ta'ala is pure, then He will only accept that which is pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, choosing the most pious and choosing the most purest of humanity, Allah ta'ala had given the commandments to the prophets, alayhimu salatu wassalam, those same commandments, or near enough the commandments that they had been blessed with, Allah ta'ala had also given these commandments to the believers. And then he says that, وَقَالْ يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O prophets, O messengers, eat that what is pure, eat what is halal, وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, and perform good deeds, perform good actions. We first come to a great understanding that when a person, he is consuming pure, he is consuming halal, then Allah Ta'ala grants him the tawfiq to do good deeds. Uske liye neki ka darwaza khul jata hai. The door of piety, Allah Ta'ala fastens it for this person, because his nourishment, it is from pure means. He's eating halal. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first gives him the tawfiq for amal salih. He is able to carry out injunctions by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his spirituality boosts and it becomes at a max. On the contrary, when a person is not consuming halal, if today scientific advancement has gone so far as a person who eats sugar, he's on a sugar diet, then he will get diabetes. If he is high, or if his red meat consumption is very high, then he may be a victim of high blood pressure. If an individual, he is consuming vegetables all the way, then there may be a shortage in protein or muscle growth. So Allah Ta'ala knows what is beneficial for us. So if we come and know the physical benefits, or we know the physical flaws, then why can it not be that when a person, he is surviving on a particular diet, this diet Allah Ta'ala stipulates for it to be pure and halal, why isn't it that this will also have a spiritual effect on this individual too? Mere bhaiyo, halal khao, halal kamai kamao. Allah Ta'ala has given us this command that whatever we have, make sure it is halal, make sure it is pure. And then he mentions further in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ. He gives an example for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach with example. يُطِيلُ السَّفَرُ أَشْعَثْ أَغْبَرُ. He is on a very, very long journey. أَشْعَثْ. He is covered and he is disheveled. He is covered in dust. And his hair is disheveled. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. And this person who is on a journey, in this condition, he raises his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he chants that, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Oh my Allah, Oh my Allah. When a person is on a journey, we know this person's du'as are accepted. When a person, he is looking, even he is in a condition where he is disheveled, his clothes are covered in dust, then a person, his heart would melt for this individual. And he will see that he is a person of need. Let me try to help him. He raises his hands in this dunya when a person takes his hands out. We feel sorry for this individual. And he says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. Somebody says to you, Fi sabilillah, Fi sabilillah. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. That this person's food is haram. What he is consuming, it is not from the right sources. His drink, it is not from the right sources. His clothing is not through the halal means. And from top to bottom, وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, his consumption or whatever he is taking in, from top to bottom, this is all prohibited. This is something that he is not going out of his way to find out whether this is halal or haram, or whether he may know it himself that this is halal or haram. He is not staying away from it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَالِكَ. Uski dua kaisi qubool hogi? How can this person, how can his prayer be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we come to find out that unfortunately, we are living in a society and we are living in an era where we have our fast food chains. We have our restaurants. There are many who choose to take out, dine out, the old school way, or unfortunately, this is slowly, slowly dying out. I urge my brothers, my sisters, my mothers and sisters listening at home, that home meals, methods and places where you have been able to attain halal food from your butcher, don't lose this tradition. Whether somebody knows to cook in the home, or whether it may be the male folk or the women folk, keep this tradition going. Our children, they cannot survive on takeaway, they cannot survive on burgers, they cannot survive on chips. They cannot survive on only things that come from outside, processed foods. No, they need nourishment, they need a good, clear diet. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had prophesied that يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذْ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَبِ الْحَرَامِ. That there will be a time that will come upon the people. Esa zamana aega. There will be a time towards the end of time that a person will not be concerned about where he takes what. Amin al halal aw al haram. There is a halal sign on the window, and the person just sees that this is written halal. The Arabic writing is there. My dear friends, my brothers, do not be fooled. Today, this topic and of discussion is mainly to go around the consumption of our food and how much our food or our meat, our chicken, our poultry, how much of this is actually being monitored. Giving statistics from the HMC, the Halal Monitoring Committee, the statistics that have been shown is that 109 million chickens are slaughtered every single day. It is every single month. 109 million chickens are slaughtered every single month. And they say that from amongst this 100%, only 7% of this, they could say clearly, or they gave statistics, that 7% of these are non-stunned, or they have not been slaughtered from mechanical machinery. 93% of this chicken, it is all through stunned means. It is through mechanical machinery. Whereas we know, and many ulama and scholars, they have concluded that the blessed blade or any type of machine cutting, dhabiha, dhabah of an animal, this is not allowed, this is impermissible. Whereas 20% of Muslims in this country, they make up, in this country, 20% of Muslims make up consumers of poultry and meat. We are only 5% as Muslims in this country. We are still the minority. So how can we be safe, and how can we feel that we walk into a particular outlet, or we walk into a particular restaurant and we just hear from the word, or we hear from the mouth that, Alhamdulillah, brother, this chicken is halal, this meat is halal. Mashallah, I have my colleague over here, I have his friend, mashallah, he's running an outlet. And you ask him, he's sitting here, Hafiz Suhail, you ask him that if somebody says and comes to him and says that, brother, can I ask you, is this chicken stunned or not? can I ask you about your meat? Ask him after the bayan, ask him after the lecture, will he feel shy? That person who has asked this question, should he feel shy about this? Kya ye sharam kab ki baat hai ki hum kisi restaurant mein jaakar ke puche that bhaiya ye khana halal hai ya nahi, usko stun kiya gaya hai ya nahi, aisa mulk se aaya hai jahan humko malum hai ki yahan wahan se gosht halal nahi milta. It's come from a country where we are 100% sure that that meat or that chicken that has come from there, it is not gone under scrutiny. It is not monitored. From the beginning of the end, the supply chain, there is a fault inside it. How can we be sure? To Alhamdulillah, thumma Alhamdulillah, ye hamare akabirin, hamare logo ki bhi mehnat hai. MashaAllah, uske piche, behind this, I had come across a documentary in regards to many pioneers in this country who had made this fikr. They had asked, they had gone out of their way, mashallah, especially the Pakistani community that had come in Canning Town, Gage Street, and all of these big, many must have heard of these, the elders who are here today who are sitting. They know of Canning Town, Plaistow, where these halal or halal meat had first come into place. Baqaida ulama ne istifta waha Darul Ulum Karachi mein bheja tha. Mufti Shafi Uthmani rahmatullahi alayhi. The ulama, they had given fatwa, they had come to a time where there were questions posed in the early 60s, 70s, 80s that the meat, is it okay for the Muslimin of Europe that they eat that meat which is from kosher? Yahudiyo ka zabiha, Yahudiyo ka gosh, kya ye halal hai ya nahi? They asked these questions. Fatwa unhone baqaida pucha, they asked. اور اس وقت ہمارے مفتیان کرام نے جواب کہا اور جواب میں یہ فتویٰ دیا کہ نہیں آپ خود کا انتظام کرو. Make means and make your own, become self-sufficient. اگر اس وقت ہمارے مفتیان کرام یہ فتویٰ دیتے کہ نہیں وہ حلال ہے آپ کھا لو, تو آج شاید ہمارے ملک میں حلال گوشت مہیا ہونا یا ہمارے پلیٹ ہماری پیالے پر آنا مشکل ہو جاتا. At that time, if they had given this verdict that you are able to suffice on this meat of kosher, then it would have been very, very difficult for us to find halal meat on our face today. So be particular. There are places or there are scandals. We know there have been in the past where lamb meat, burgers, they have been fed to our children in to Muslim children in Leicester. And these lamb burgers, they contain traces of pork. One Muslim, he had sued a restaurant because the pizza that he had ordered, which was considered to be halal, this was actually this had pork on it. Us par suar ka gosht tha. And we all know one saying is, and one English proverb is that you are what you eat. You are what you eat. اگر آپ کا کھانا حلال ہوگا تو نیکی کی توفیق آپ کو نصیب ہوگی. If your food is halal, then the way I had said at the beginning, وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the توفیق to do good actions. Sometimes because our diet, or because the way where we find our food, wherever we find a place, an outlet, we just go in there blindly, halal, written, but that place may not be halal. Ask those who are working in HMC, ask those brothers who are monitoring these outlets day in, day out. There have been cases where some outlets, they had been, or they were affiliated, or they may have shown themselves to be with a halal company. They have crossed off, or they have changed their certificates, or they had taken off the labels, they had not updated their labels. The stamps that they had got, for example, from HMC, and many people are still buying from them. And they are staying quiet about it. Food scandals, places where they will fool, they will sell you short, and the food that you may get on your plate or where you get from, it may not unfortunately be halal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions clearly in the hadith that لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بالحرام, that this a body which has been nourished with haram, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that this body cannot enter Jannah. لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بالحرام. This is such a serious case, and this is such a serious matter, my dear brothers, my dear sisters. We need to be very, very vigilant about where we are taking our food from. We need to be very, very particular. Kabhi kabar hamare bachcho ka hafiza bhi isi wajah se kamzor ho jata hai. Our children who attend our makatib and our madaris. I remember my respected Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala saying very, very clearly, and he used to quote the sayings of and in regards to Imam Bukhari Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Imam Bukhari Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he says that my father, he left behind not one dirham of wealth which was even mushtabih. Mushtabih means something which is vague, something which seems doubtful. Mere walid ne choro haram ki baat to choro. Mere walid ne kabhi bhi ek mushtabih maal bhi nahi chora. My father, when he left this world, he never left any even money which was doubtful, forget even haram. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he goes on to say that I never heard my father ever doing ghibah of another person. He never backbited another individual. This is why the likes of Imam Bukhari had been Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. Amirul Mu'mineen fil hadith. He was known as Amirul Mu'mineen in hadith. Thousands and thousands of a hadith he had memorized. This has an effect. What our children are fed, what they are nourished with, it puts an effect on their hearts and their minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring this topic on board.
I believe for a mu'min is that he consumes halal. When we look into the ahadith, a person, he jeopardizes his spirituality, he jeopardizes his connection with Allah Ta'ala if he is not consuming halal. A person, he is, for example, consuming alcohol, hypothetically speaking. This is not halal, it is haram. Hence, he is furthering himself away from Allah Ta'ala. He is lowering his spirituality. Just a few statistics that I'd like to put forward to our young friends and also to all of us over here. We, from HMC, they had done some very, very amazing statistics. And they were saying that one of the few problems in the industry is today, the meat industry, is that there is halal imported all around the world. So this to be regulated, this is also a very, very great task. It's not that whatever just comes in, it comes in and then it comes straight onto our plate. No, this goes through a regulation. There is an issue of stunning animals, gassing, mechanical slaughter. Whereas, mashallah, our sharia, our deen, it teaches when slaughtering an animal, it slaughters it with compassion. There is a way, or there is a softness behind it. The animal is treated very, very much with care, and it is not given a straight blade and its head severed. Rather, even the blessed blade, when looking into the blessed blade, or there is a blade that has the kalima written on it, or there is a tape or a CD playing and the kalima and the la ilaha illallah and Allahu Akbar, this is said, then these a machine does not have a belief or practice. We as insan, as humans, as Muslims, we have a belief and we have a practice. Whereas a machine doesn't have this. It doesn't have the intellect for this. So how can we rely or say or argue that machine-based slaughter, this is halal? So these are things for us to think about today. And there are scandals sometimes. I remember there was a Dispatches documentary, if I could, or Watchdog documentary, which was many years, it was aired many years ago. And in this, a person, na'udhu billah, he was saying openly that I write la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, I write halal on my windows in my butcher shop, but if you ask me deep down, particularly if I know whether this is completely and solely halal, then I have a question mark on my mind. So we need to be very clear. We need to be very clear cut where we source our food from, where our halal
intake. For example, I was saying that when we go to a restaurant or we go to a place to dine, then we don't need to fall under inferiority complex or feel that if I ask the worker there, then I'm going to sound too strict in front of my friends. My friends are with me. I don't want to sound too hardcore. Why are you asking that if this is stunned or not? Why are you asking whether it's HMC or not? Why are you asking whether this is imported or whether or going into the nitty gritty depths of things? No, it's your right to know. You are going to consume it. It's going to go down your throat. So no should you feel shy. And the one who is selling, the one who is at the counter as well, he should be ready to answer the questions. He should be ready to give you direct answers. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. 109 million chickens are slaughtered monthly. 93% are stunned, are mechanically, and they are stunned. Whereas the 7% remaining, 70% of Muslims agreed that they wanted non-stunned meat from a survey. But only there is only 7% of non-stunned meat to go around the Muslim community. 20% of this country are Muslim who consume the meat, and poultry. The Muslims make up of them, and we come under only 5% in this country. So we need to be very, very careful and clear where we get our food from, where the means and attain halal means. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to really practice and have a think of this, inshallah.